Good morning. It's been a long time since I preached here. I was thinking about how we've been in California for 7 years. Can you believe that? 7 years in August, and I think I've preached here once since I left. Preached here a whole lot of times while I was here, though. So I desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. A little preface. I often say when I come to Dallas, I mean, I feel at home, and y'all get some good preaching here every Sunday. So I thought, listen, let me get some of the good preaching y'all getting. So I get to preach at Sacramento every Sunday, whether I want to or not. So, but I do feel like the Lord gave me a word for you to leave with you today. So I want to be faithful to the Lord and what He wants us to say. We've been kind of on a series there in Sacramento for a couple of Sundays about faithfulness, what it means to be faithful. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is the Lord does not require us to do anything grand and great and spectacular and wonderful and all these things that he just wants us to be faithful. Amen. He said, be thou faithful unto death and I will give thee a crown of life. Yeah. So what does He say? Okay, I want you to raise up a congregation. I want you to do a whole bunch of things that's just beyond and spectacular. And when people look at them, they think that this is a wonderful thing that this individual is doing. That's not what He's saying. He said He just wants you to be faithful. We heard in our Sunday school lesson this morning talking about Joshua. He says, as for me and my house, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. And I'm going to do everything that's possible for my family to be influenced and be faithful to the Lord. While they're within the bounds of my house, we're going to be faithful to the Lord. I want us to turn to a familiar text of Scripture, the 25th chapter of Matthew. I want to start reading at the 14th verse. I'm going to read down a little bit because I want to give us a kind of a clear understanding here. So if you have it, someone can read it for us. Matthew 25, verse 14, starting at verse 14, please.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country.
Yes.
Who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods.
Yes.
And unto the one he gave 5 talents.
He gave 5 talents.
To another 2.
To another 2.
To another 1.
To another 1.
To everyone according to his
He gave them according to his several ability,
and
he straightway took his journey.
Then he that had received
the 5 talents
went and traded with the same
and made them
other
5 talents.
And likewise, he that had received
two,
he had also gained
other 2.
But he that received one
went and digged in the earth
and hid his Lord's money.
After a long time,
the Lord of those servants cometh
and reckoneth with them.
And so he that had received 5 talents
came and brought other 5 talents, saying,
Lord, thou delivered
unto me 5 talents.
Behold, I have gained besides them
5 talents more.
His Lord said unto him,
yes,
well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Thou good and faithful servant.
This is what I want us to concentrate on.
Hold on for a moment. This is what I want us to concentrate on, because it says here, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's our directive that the Lord has given us. Well done. These are the words that I want to hear, and I'm striving by the grace of God. When I stand before the Lord, I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But here's the point. Have you ever had somebody walk up to you and say, you know what, and they're, or maybe they ask, well, what do you think about what I did? And you're thinking, well, it's not the best. This is what you're thinking, but you're saying, oh, it's okay. Well, that's what comes out of our mouth, right?
Right?
Why do we do that? Because we're polite. We don't want to hurt their feelings,
right?
And so, but when we stand before the Lord and we present what we said to the Lord, and He says, you say, what do you think, Lord? And He's not going to be polite.
No.
He's going to be very direct, very honest, very brutal with what it is that either we're going to hear well done or we're not. I heard one old sister say, she said, you want to hear the words, well done, but what have you done? There's a great majority of us that aren't doing anything and haven't done anything. And if that is the case, the Lord is not going to be polite and tell us that you've done good if you haven't. All right? Continue, please.
His Lord said unto him,
yes,
well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things.
Yes.
I will make thee ruler over many things.
Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
He also that had received two talents came and said,
Lord, thou dwellest with me. Yes.
Behold, I have gained two
you,
other
you give
talents.
Me two talents, I've gained two others beside them.
His Lord said unto him,
yes.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes. Yes.
Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things.
Yes.
Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord,
I knew thee that thou art a hard man,
yes.
reaping where thou hast not sown,
yes.
and gathering where thou hast not straw.
Yes.
And I was afraid.
I was afraid and went and hid thy talents in the earth.
Lo, there thou hast that is thine.
Yes.
His Lord answered and said unto him,
yes.
Thou wicked and slothful servant.
Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not,
and gather where I have not strawed.
Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers,
and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury.
Take therefore the talent from
him,
give it unto him
which hath ten talents.
For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance.
From him that hath not shall be taken away,
even that he has.
And cast the unprofitable servant
into outer darkness,
there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
This is a very serious situation. Casting him into outer darkness. It's not so much that the guy did something that was terrible. It's just he wasn't faithful. He didn't do what the Lord told him to do. All right, let's go back. I want to go back at the beginning of this and kind of give us a scripture by scripture analysis in one sense. It says here, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servant and delivered him his goods. All right. And so we have to understand that what we have, everything that we have, it doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter how much we have or how little we have, everything that we have is not ours. It's borrowed, it's given to us. We are stewards of it. And God is going to call, and he's going to call us at one time. We're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of it. All right? So we have to understand that. So he says he's given him his goods. Nothing belongs to you. I just went to a funeral yesterday and of a elderly aunt that passed away. I went to her funeral yesterday. You know what? She couldn't take anything that she had with her. She was there. She went. If her treasures were over on the other side, I believe she was saved. Her treasures were over on the other side. That's all that she can take. Amen. But everything here earthly, she cannot take it. All right? So it says here, now drop down to the 15th verse. And to the one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Do you realize that? Now, this is talking about money, but I want to talk about talents and abilities. Yeah. The Lord gave these individuals something according to their ability. Yeah. So when he gave them the talents, he gave the one the five talents, he knew that this man had a little bit more ability than the one that he gave the one talent to, and the one that he gave the two talents to. So the Lord knows your ability. He knows what you can do. He realizes that you that whatever he gives for you to do, it is not too much, because he's already analyzed your situation. He knows and has an understanding of who you are, what your abilities are, and what your inabilities are. But what tends to happen to us is we come to the point of saying, Lord, I'm looking at Brother Tavis and he's much better at this than I am, so therefore I'm not going to do it. That's not what the Lord does. That the Lord doesn't give us a pass on that. We have to do what God tells us to do, no matter what the other brothers are doing. That's none of our concern. It's none of our, what is that to thee? You follow me. So our responsibility is to make certain that, Lord, whatever it is, whatever abilities that you've given to me, I want to use them to the fullest extent that I can. And let me tell you something else. The Lord gives us inabilities as well. All right? So just because you don't have one ability, you have an inability to do something, to me, those things are wonderful. Because you know what? When I have inabilities, when there's something that I just can't do, and it seems like this particular thing, well, Lord, if I was more this or that, then I could be more like this. You know what? I'll use this as an example. By nature, I'm a shy person. Really. Most people don't know it. I've fought it for the last 60-some years. I've fought it. And people don't know that I'm a shy person. So I hear people say, you know what? I would never be able to stand up in front of people. It terrifies me to stand up in front of people. It terrifies me too. But you know what happens when it terrifies me in those kind of places? I preach the thousands and thousands of people at a time, right? Yeah. And you know what happens? The inability to feel confident when you stand out on the stage, the inability to do that. You know what you have to do? I don't have the ability to do it. So you know what I have to do? What do I have to do? I have to lean on the Lord. And so the Lord gives me the ability to speak, and then over here on this side, he gives me the inability to be confident in it. And then what do I have to do? I have to say, Lord, if this is gonna go over very well, you're the one that's gonna have to do it. So the Lord does that. I can't make excuses. Well, I can't get in front of people because it just makes me so nervous. I can't use it as an excuse, is it? Can I? The reason I cannot do that is because the Lord gave me what I have. And the Lord wants me to utilize what I have. And so I have to push against that. So here, if you're coming to me and wanting counsel for something, and you say, well, Brother Darrell, you know, it seems like I can't do this particular thing, I'm sorry, you're not going to get a whole lot of sympathy from me. I'm going to put my hand around your arms, and I'm going to say, oh, bless your heart. You can do this by the help and the grace of God. You can. No matter what your inability is, no matter what your ability is, but God gave them the ability. He gave one. He knew who they were. He knew what he could do. He knew what he could not do. The Lord knows what you can do, and the Lord knows what you cannot do. And so the Lord has already taken that into consideration. And there's one thing that he did. Have you noticed what he said here? And he gave unto the one 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. According to their ability, he gave them what he knew that they can make a return off of, right? All right? And then what did he do? What did he do? What did the scripture say? He took his journey. He just left. He's not going to micromanage you. He's not going to come look over your shoulder and tell you and say, well, you're not doing what you're supposed to. He's not going to do that. All right? He's going to let you do what you want to do. And there has to be, in some way, if we're going to be spiritually successful, there has to be some self-motivation, right? So you're going to have to motivate yourself to do what God tells you to do. And not only does there need to be self-motivation, there has to be self-discipline. Yeah. Do you realize when we have children, our job as parents is not to whip our... We don't want to whip our... How many parents just enjoy... If you enjoy whipping, spanking your child and disciplining your child, you don't need that child. Right. If it's just an enjoyment, oh, I get to whip my son today. He did something he shouldn't have done. That's not how the Lord does. All right, so we have to understand that what do? We only discipline them so that they can learn to discipline themselves. We don't want to discipline when they're 16. We want them to understand the pain that you're experiencing in the discipline that I'm giving you right now. At some point, I want you to get to the point where you're saying in your own mind, you know what? The last time I did something like this, it was just too painful. I got in trouble. I didn't want to do it. I got grounded. I got spanked. I got whatever. And it's just too painful. So now when that choice presents itself to me this time, I'm going to self-discipline so mom and dad doesn't have to discipline me, right? So I'm going to say, I'm not going to do that. And the reason I'm not going to do that is because I learned how painful it was the last time. Yes. And do you realize that the Lord does that? He said, whom he loveth, he does what? He chastens. Yes. What does that mean? That means he disciplines us. Why? Because we love. He wants us to be a benefit. Just like we want our children to be a benefit to society, God wants us to be a benefit to the church. So he disciplines us, he chastens us, and he gets us to the place that we understand the pain and the suffering that I'm having to go through now. If I self-correct and I ask the Lord to give me the grace and the help to go through these things, I won't have to go through this anymore. You know what I've learned in my experience over the years? I've learned that the sooner you get down in the Lord and the sooner you say, Lord, just tell me how to get out this trial. Tell me what you want me to do. You're disciplining me now, and I want to get out of this place. The sooner I get to that place, the sooner I get out of the trial. You know that? The Lord doesn't enjoy disciplining you. He's teaching you. You know how the scripture said? Christ learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Well, how do you say that, Brother Darrell? Christ learned obedience? Christ was one with God, right? And they were same mind, same heart, same everything, right? But what happens is he had to become like us. And so one of the things that you deal with obedience, there has to be an authority, right? Yes. There cannot be people on the same level. We're equals and we have the same mind. You're not going to learn obedience that way, right? So you have to have an authority. And then there is a subject. There's a person that is a subject. And that's that person that is under this authority, right? And then there's wills involved. The will of the one in authority and the will of the one that's a subject. And those wills have to cross each other in order for there to be obedience, right? They have to cross each other. So in other words, if we were on the same level and we said the same thing and our wills were the same, I wouldn't have to obey you. But now there's a problem. And so the problem is that your will and my will are different wills now. They're not the same. So the Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he says, not my will, which is different from yours, but yours be done. All right? So now God is the authority here, right? And so Christ had to learn how to subject himself to the authority of God. And he said, no, Lord, now not my will, but thy will be done. And so this is how he learns obedience. Your child or those who are on the job and your boss tells you to do something that you don't want to do, you have to be obedient to them. It's not because you want to do this. It is because this is what obedience is. It's the subjection to a higher authority. And so in the same way, Jesus learned it. Why? By suffering. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So our sufferings often teach us something. We learn a lot more oftentimes by suffering than we do by other means. All right? So he had to go through the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to go through the cross to learn what the will of the Father is. Submit himself to the Father's will. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Yeah. Same thing we have to do. Yeah. All right? So, here, when the Lord gives us something, have you ever thought? I've heard so many people say this, and I don't say it. I don't say it anymore. I don't want to be a preacher. I hope he does. I hope he calls you to be a preacher. I hope some of these young folks. I hope he calls you to be a preacher. I'm gonna be praying that he does. Yeah. Why? Because we need somebody to say, Lord, I'll do it by the help and the grace of God. If you teach me how to do it, I'll do it. Because we need people, not only that, but we need people going out, winning souls for the Lord. We are not, this congregation and no congregation is going to sustain unless we reach out to other people and people that have, nobody wants it anymore. Oh, you don't know what anybody wants. Right. I'm going to tell you what we have. You know what we have coming to church? We have people that look nothing like us. And you wouldn't think for one moment that this guy would even be interested. You saw him on the street. He comes to service and comes to Bible study every day. Earrings, chains, goth looking. And I believe the boy is saved, believe it or not. Do y'all know that? Lord have mercy. He don't look like us. But he is attentive to the word of God, and I believe all the rest of that stuff, the Lord will do it in due time. But here's our point. We have to take some risk. We have to be willing to get out of our places of comfort, and this is a hard place for any of us. Because, you know, I use this as an example. I've been preaching for almost 40 years, I guess, and here I am. I'm standing up in front, out of my comfort zone. So the Lord, I'll tell you, y'all have heard me say this before. The Lord told me you've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Y'all hear that? Lord, help us. All right, so I'm going to read the definition of faithful. It means steadfast in commitment, someone who can be trusted to stay true in loyalty, character, and action. To be faithful is to be reliable, loyal, and consistent. A faithful person keeps his word, honors his commitment, and shows up even when it's not convenient. How many times have it not been convenient to come to church? I'm going to tell you a secret. Sometimes it ain't convenient for preachers to come to church. Sometimes preachers want to stay at home too. Kick up your shoes and watch live stream. Eat a bowl of cereal. We can't do that. We have a responsibility. Don't we? So what do? It's not going to be, I don't know Brother Henry going to be there to say, do you know Brother Henry? You know how he is. No, we can't do that. He's got to be here whether he wants to be here or not. Lord, help us. And we're faithful. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear, don't we? And in order to do that, the Lord is not going to say, well done, faithful son, anybody, if you're not faithful. He's not going to say, well done, if you haven't done anything. You got to do something. What are you doing? What are you doing? This is a self-analysis. I'm not going to be here and take my little clipboard and say, what have you been doing, Brother Tabs? What have you been doing, Sister Kim? What have you been doing, Sister? I'm not going to do that, right? But the Lord will do it. Amen. And so the Lord's doing it right now. So right now, what I want you to do, write down in your own mind what you're doing for the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. And you think, Lord, I ain't doing nothing for you. I'm not doing as much as I could do. Lord, help us. Oh, how many talents has he given you? One? Oh, Lord, help us. Okay, so he goes here. Let's see, where do we stop here? So he gave one 5 talents and he took his journey. So he's not micromanaging us. He's letting us do what we're going to do at our own discretion. When we want to do it, he's not going to tell us what to do. You know, there are some people that are so controlling, they want to control every aspect of your life. Have you ever heard of people like that? Maybe a boss like that. He wants to control everything that you do. The Lord is not like that. The Lord says here, I've given you something. I know what your ability is. I know that you have the ability to do the particular thing that I'm asking you to do, or the things that I've given you. The talents, what do you have a talent for? What has the Lord given you as a talent? You know, the Lord wants you to utilize that. Amen. All right? And as you utilize it, what the Lord does, it blesses other people. And the Lord blesses you as a result of that. All right? So let's go a little further here. All right. So Matthew 25:16, the 16th verse. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded the same and made him them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2 talents. So the minute that the Lord gave them what to do, what did? They set out to go to work, and they used their ability and their motivation and their self-discipline, and they performed and they got the job done. They got the job done. Let me tell you, I don't want you to mistake the in your mind that, oh, well, maybe the Lord doesn't require very much of, the Lord requires a whole lot of me. The Lord doesn't require, he just wants you to do what you can do. Yeah. I cannot do what Brother Tavis can do, and he can't do what I do, right? There are some things, I'm not comparing myself to see how successful is Brother Tavis, and I'm going to see how successful I am. It doesn't matter what, there is no comparison. All I'm doing, it is me fighting against me, my greatest enemy. Your greatest enemy is not the person that's sitting next to you. It's not the person down the street. It's not the person on another pew. It's you. The only person that can keep you out of heaven, it is not your wife. Well, if I had a better wife and if she was saved or she was this or that, then I would have made it to heaven. No, the Lord's not going to say that. The Lord has given you the ability independently to go to heaven, no matter what anybody else does. Isn't that wonderful? Because it's not, I'm not dependent on somebody else to make it. It's not whether or not Brother Henry, if he was a little better preacher than he is, and it would be easier for me to live this life. That's not what it's all about, is it? I know he's a good preacher. I'm just using it as an example. If they were just a little bit more at the church over here on Riley Crest, then I would be a little bit better. It would be easier for me to live saved. But you're going to go through all these issues with somebody else. But let me tell you, the Lord does not want you to look at other people. All right, let's go a little further here. And likewise, see, they received. They immediately began to work, and I want you to begin to work too. Whatever it is that the Lord has shown you, I believe the Lord can give you what you need to be able to get the job done. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, first of all, he clearly had the ability to do it. Or the Lord wouldn't have done it, right? He had the ability to do it, or the Lord wouldn't have given it to him. All right? The Lord knew what he could do. And instead of him, now here's the point. I want you to look at what this servant did. He didn't do anything, quote, unquote, bad. He didn't go out there sinning. He didn't go out there using the Lord's money at the casinos. He didn't do any of that. No. He just decided in his mind that I'm going to keep it, Lord. I'm going to dig in the earth. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to know where it is. And then when you come back, I'll give it back to you. Right. But that's not why the Lord gave it to him. Amen. It's not why he gives it to us either. So we dig in the earth, hide it. Then we bring it back up, and the Lord, he didn't do anything bad, but the Lord wasn't pleased with it. So in the same way, what we have to understand, maybe we're not doing something bad, but are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we doing what God knows that we can do? And I wonder sometimes if this person here that only received 1 talent, maybe he was a little jealous. I don't know. Let me elaborate if I can. I don't think it takes anything away from the parable. Right. But maybe he was a little jealous. Well, Brother Henry got 5 talents, and Brother Tavis got 2, and I just got 1. I'm a little jealous. Well, Lord, why didn't you give me 2 or 3 talents? Because you'd have hit those 2 or 3 talents too. That's true. Doesn't matter what he gave. It was the kind of person you were, right? And so what happens is when the Lord did this, he hid his talent in the ground, the Lord comes back and the Lord says, listen, I gave you the ability to do what you're doing, what I told you to do. Now, I wonder if this guy was a little, as I said, jealous and looking at somebody else and seeing what they did and seeing what they're doing and whether or not they're, because they're not, when they compare themselves to somebody else, they're not doing, so it might as well, I'm just going to be saved. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to live for the Lord. That's all I'm going to do. But the Lord has something more for you to do. We cannot just sit down and be content and then expect when the Lord comes back for the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I might say that because I don't know the whole story, right? I might say, well, you did okay. Others might say, well, you did okay. But the Lord's not going to say that. If we don't do what the Lord is called for us to do, he is not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Even though you bring the talent and you bring it and present it right back to the Lord, he's not going to be polite in that he's going to be brutally honest with you. You didn't do what I told you to do and what I gave you the ability to do. Sometimes we want to compare ourselves among ourselves. I want to look at what you're doing. And if you're doing, we influence each other. Right. If you're not doing anything, then I think it's okay for me not to do anything. Right. And I'm just comparing myself to everybody else. Stop comparing yourself to everybody else. Because had you noticed when the Lord came back, he didn't make any comparison. He made no comparison to each other. He didn't say, well, listen, you did 5 and you got 10. This one did 2, had 2 and he's got 4. That's wonderful. Did you notice what the guy over here did? He didn't say that. And then he said to the one that's 2. Then he said to the one that's 1. He said, did you notice what these guys? He didn't say any of that. You know, it would have been more difficult had he done that. Because, you know, Lord, I'm always trying to keep up with everybody. I'm always trying, you know, some of us have that kind of a personality, don't we? We're always trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm always trying to keep up with somebody else. Stop keeping up with folks. Live your life. Leave everybody else alone. They got, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what the Joneses are doing. And it's none of your business. Lord, help us. Help me to do me. Let me look at the man in the mirror because he's the only one that's going to stop me from being able to do what God wants me to do. There's no one else that can stop me from doing it. All right? And the only person that I need to compare myself to is the man in the mirror and then what the Word of God says. He beholdeth himself. Yeah, he look in the looking glass, he beholdeth himself. Straightway goes and forgets what kind of man he is. Lord, have mercy on us. Help us to look at us. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Lord, look at what I'm doing. And here's the purpose of why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for you all to say, oh, Brother Daryl, he's doing so much for the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's not my goal because it doesn't matter what you say. Because some, you know what, everybody over here applaud me. Oh, it's so wonderful. And everybody over there looking at me out of the corner of their eye. You understand what I'm saying? You have that. While you're being lifted up over here with somebody over here trying to tear you down. Oh, man, I've been there. I've been there many, many times. So you know what I learned? I learned don't even look at the people. Don't care about what you think about me. I don't care about how you feel about me. I don't care what you say about me. What I do care about is whether or not I'm doing what God wants me to do. And he's going to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful. You've been faithful when it was inconvenient. You came to church. You did what you were supposed to do. There were fears that you had. Oh, do you suppose we don't have fear? Brother Darrell, you should be good by now. You don't have no fears. You don't have anything that you're afraid of or that you're having to deal with. Yes, I do. Yes. And so what do? I said, well, you know, the fears keep me back. No, there is something that I learned about fear. Fear is just a big monster that goes, and he's really looks all bad, but all you just punch him in his teeth, he falls down. In the name of the Lord is what I'm saying. And so I've learned, rather than running away from fear, I tend to run toward it when people say, something wrong with him. You know, but you run toward it. You say, you know what, this is not good. I don't necessarily run all the time, but I don't stop. I just keep going. And I ask the Lord, and as I go forward and I continue to go forward, and you know what, it seems like the fear dissipates. It's not as strong as it once was. And then I'm looking behind it and all these big gruesome things that were there. You know, there is something peaceful behind it. Don't be afraid. Take the risk. Oh, here's the man that had the one talent. He didn't want to take the risk of losing it. He wouldn't have lost it. God told him what to, God knew he had the ability to do whatever he needed to do. He said, listen, all you had to do was go to the bank and put it in a savings bond and make interest off of it. If you'd have done that, you'd have had one plus one half. It'd have been something that was great and wonderful or that would have advanced the kingdom of God in some way, but you hid it in the dirt. Lord, help us. So, we can't be afraid. And there are sometimes, you know, being in a situation, you know, California, I enjoy California, so I don't want people to get the wrong idea of California. It took me some time to enjoy it. It took me a couple of years to start liking being there. I am a Texas, Oklahoma boy. And I liked here much better, but the Lord was through with me here. And every time I come here to Dallas, I see the Lord's through with me here. And so I'm out there endeavoring by the grace of God to set it up for some other young folks. For some young people coming behind me that they can take over and the Lord can bless them. And so I'm in the process of doing that. And I appreciate what the Lord has done. And the congregation is growing. It's not growing in leaps and bounds, but it's a steady inflow of people just from the neighborhood and whatnot. And I learned something, that sometimes you're afraid of maybe what people will say. California is a different animal than Texas. The way people present themselves is different than Texas, in Oklahoma, where, you know, the majority of the places where I spent most of my life. And then you think that this person is not going to want, we prejudge, thank you, that's the word. We prejudge people. How dare you prejudge a person? That's what prejudice is. That's really what it is. You're prejudging a person based on how they look or what they said or whether or not they want the Lord. And we can't do that. Let me tell you, in order for this congregation to grow, continue to grow, you're going to have to reach out. You cannot sit here and be comfortable in this place. The Lord's given you 5 talents. Now your job is to make 5 talents more. And then the Lord's going to give you some more. Your job is not to set on and wrap your talent up in a towel and in a napkin and dig a hole and set it under there. There are people here in this place that need the gospel preached to them and taught to them. And you're going to let your light shine. You're going to be a conspicuous candle that is shining in a dark place. And there are people that want it. As I said, we have folks coming to church who I would never have thought would be wanting to come to church. And still coming after several months. Don't look like the typical saint. Don't look like the typical whatever. But I believe the Lord works with those kinds of people, with all of us. So don't prejudge somebody. There might be somebody that looks really, and let me tell you something else. The ones that really look pious, they don't want to have nothing to do with it. I've heard sometimes. The one that you think would want to have something to do with the truth of God, they don't want to have anything to do with it. But the ones you think don't, they're the ones that want it. So our job is not to prejudge. Our job is not to be prejudiced. Our job is to take this little talent that we have. And what do we have? We all have a mouth. We all can say, you know what? Thank the Lord. I'm shaking your hand. The other day we were in the parking lot at Home Depot. That's my favorite store. I enjoy Home Depot. I go there all the time. Always doing something. Anyway, a young man comes up to us, not so young, but he comes up to us and wants to get some money. Normally, I don't give people money all the time. I try to get them to church or whatnot. But if I have a little money or can help them out some ways, I do that. But then we another guy walks up to us, and he's listening to the conversation. We witness to the guy, we lay hands on him, and we pray for him. Now, I don't know if that guy will come to church. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I do know that he was prayed for by a man of God. That's our job. It is not our, the Lord adds to the church daily, such as should be said. It is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to go out there, touch the world, preach to the world, preach to every creature. That's our job. That's part of what God has given us as the talents that He's given. I've got a mouth and I can preach the gospel. I've got a life. I can preach the gospel. People can look at my life. I don't have to go up in there and always say, you know, I'm a man of God. I'm a preacher. Y'all want to hear what I got? No, I don't know. I have to do that sometimes. All I have to do is walk around, talk to them like the brother was saying. Brother Anthony was talking about. All I have to do is just say, God bless. Then they're going to, then the curiosity is going to come out there, right? I'm glad you ask. Now we can have a conversation. We can have a conversation about that's what a talent, that's the ability God has given each one of us. He's given us the ability to do what it is that he wants you to do. And then, well, maybe that man won't ever get saved. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll talk to somebody, his wife, who will talk to somebody, who will talk to somebody about this brother, and that person gets saved. What is that to you? You just preach the word of God. I don't know what you're going to take away from what I'm saying here today. But what I do know is that if it's coming by the Spirit of the Lord, you're going to take away something. And sometimes folks come in, well, you know, I really got hold of what you said on Sunday. And I thought, I said that? I don't even remember saying it. But the Lord, that was for you. The Lord gave it to you. Because sometimes I don't know what I'm saying. Just the Holy Spirit brings it out. So I want to encourage us that way. So I want to say this too. Stop comparing yourselves by other people. If you are. There's a scripture in, where is it? Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12. And we dare not make ourselves the number of, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but by they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, it ain't wise. I'm going to get discouraged. I was with my brother yesterday, and he's very athletically inclined and mechanically inclined, and I ain't. I never was. Mechanically athletically inclined, and it just seemed like everything that he could do, I mean, everything he just, it just was easy to him. My dad, of course, had us working on the farm and all of those kinds of things. He could back up a trailer, and then my son, I don't know, he got the genes that they got. He didn't get them from me. I think this first time Cameron got into a car and tried to, with a trailer and tried to back it up, he just backed it up. I'm still struggling. I can get it back there. It might be a little crooked, but it's going to be back there. But that's not my talent. So if I compare myself, I say, well, you know, I feel so down because I can't do what my brother do, and I can't do what my son do, and I can't do what this other brother. If I'm comparing myself to them, I'm going to get discouraged. And you know what I'm going to feel like doing? I'm going to feel like taking whatever little talents that I have, wrapping it up in a little napkin, and burying it down here, and that way I don't have to worry about it. The Lord ain't going to let me by with that. He said, you know what, you're going to struggle, and you're going to get this done, and you're going to, but you know what, there are some things that I can do that they can't do. You know, my little two talents. I've got two of them, and I can do those two well, and by the grace of God, I do those two well. And I'm not comparing myself by other people. I don't want you, and the Lord doesn't want you, to compare yourself to the person that's sitting next to you. Yeah, they can do it better than you, but so what? Yeah. Lord, help us. Yeah. To compare myself to somebody else is not wise. All right, we'll go a little further, moving toward our conclusion. Appreciate your patience. And it says in 19th verse, and after a long time. So it wasn't just that the Lord did it, and then the next day he came back. He said, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoneth them. What this reckoning means is he's going to settle the books. He's going to look at the books. He's going to give it. You're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to say, okay, it's kind of like our accountants. You know about that. You got to settle the books. And everything on the right side has to balance with things on the left side. The things that I gave you, the ability that I gave you, has to reckon with what you put on the books. And so this is what the Lord's doing after a long time. He's coming and he's reckoning with them. And so he that received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. The Lord saith unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So in other words, the Lord is not going to say two things. He's not going to say you're good, and he's not going to say you're faithful if you're not good and you're not faithful. You remember I believe it's in Matthew, I think it is, the rich young ruler? And he comes to the Lord and he says, good master, what must we do to inherit eternal life? And what did the Lord, what was God's, Jesus' response? He said, why are you calling me good? He said, there is none good but one. If anybody was good, surely Jesus was. But Jesus knows the very thoughts of men's heart. So this man, if you read about the rich young ruler, you know some of the things that he dealt with. He said, okay, the Lord starts spelling out all these, do this, thou shalt not that. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. He can check all the boxes, right? Let me tell you something. So, you know, here's what Jesus was cutting off at the pass. This guy was saying, you know, I'm pretty good. And you're pretty good, so I'm going to call you good master. And then you can just call, say, hey, I'm a pretty good guy too. Hey, you're good. Sometimes we say that. Have we not done that? Right. Have we not said something to somebody so that they can say something back to us? Right. Oh, you look nice. Whether they do or not. Oh, you look nice. That looks cute on you. And you say, oh, well, you look nice too. That's what you wanted to hear. You wasn't thinking about what they was wearing. You really wanted them to tell you how you looked. Oh, I thought it was pretty nice. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning. It looks pretty good. From all angles. So here's the point. Here's what we got to be careful of. So the Lord says, oh, wait. Don't call me good because you think you're so good. Right? You think you're so good. So I'm not going to let you call me good. There's none good because all good emanates from the Father. Yeah. All of it. And so he taught him a lesson right there. No matter how good you think you are, if you're not doing what the Father wants you to do, you're not good. And so here, God has the ability to judge goodness. So he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents and came and said to the Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. I have gained 2 others beside them. And 2 others beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Now you notice that one just had 2 talents. One had 5 talents. But he said he got the same reward. And he got the same understanding that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then he came to the one. He came to, I'm going to be finished when we just go over this a little bit and we'll let the Lord work with you on the rest. Amen. Then he that received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. If we have the wrong perception of God, amen, we are not going to treat him in the way that he deserves to be treated. Yes. So he says he's a hard man. And the Lord didn't, the other ones didn't say that. Why was he saying that he was a hard man? And the other ones didn't say that he was a hard man. The other ones just did what he was told to do. And the Lord said, if you thought I was like that, then you should have done what you should have. At least done something. Yes, thank you. At least should have done something. But he didn't do anything. Lord, help us. Let's not make excuses. And let's not blame it on God for why we didn't do. Well, Lord, you didn't give me this. And you didn't give me that. And I knew the... You know, there was a Nebuchadnezzar that was in the... with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, he said, oh, yeah, and the day that when I play this music, if you don't fall down and worship me. And they said, no, we're not going to fall down and worship you. And then what did they say? What did Nebuchadnezzar say? He said, he simply said to them, he said, who is that God? Who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hand? So he had the wrong perception of who God is. He saw himself in a high and a lifted up place, and God somewhere equal or below him in some kind of way. Who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? He had a wrong perception of God, and he treated what he did. His response and his reactions were as though he had the wrong perception of God. And this man's response and reaction was as though he had the wrong perception of God. If he saw God as a loving God that was care, well, Lord, I might not have brought in what he did, and it's only 50 cents more than what you gave me. But the Lord said, I knew that's all you could do in the first place. And I'm not comparing you by these people. And so here's my point. I want us to understand that when Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, they threw him in there, and they said, I see 4 men. Didn't we throw in 3? And then I see 4 men, and 1 looks like what? That's how he said he didn't know who that God was. You know, God will reveal himself to us when we're in those tight places, and we need the Lord to reveal himself to us and make us to know and understand who he is. We need the Lord to do that, and the Lord will do it to us. Do it for us. All right, so we're going to go a little further here, and we're going to be finished. For unto, let's see, where do we stop? Thou didst have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servants into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Y'all, this is serious.
Yes.
Far serious than what we perhaps think it is.
Right.
Just, and all the Lord is telling us to do, and I want to leave this with you. All the Lord is telling you to do, that there is some action that the Lord wants us to make, and that's all they did. I'm going to act on what I have. Lord, if I lose it, I'm going to be as careful as I can, but I'm going to take the risk.
Right.
I'm going to take the risk, and I'm going to get a return on this, and I want every one of us to be willing to take the risk. I think some people are risk averse. Well, I just want to be sure that I want to give the Lord back. No, you give the Lord back. He knows what you can do.
Yeah.
Give the Lord back what he's given you, and then give, Lord, here's 50 cents. I know it ain't much, but it's all that I can do.
Yeah.
Do it.
Amen.
All right. So here's what I want to say. The Lord wants us to understand that there's a reward.
Yes.
There's a reward to presenting your abilities and your talents to the Lord. There's a reward for it.
Yes.
And there's a consequence for not. And he said there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is horrible.
Yes.
For no more than what I didn't do. I didn't go out sinning and smoking and drinking and running around. I didn't do all of that. But did you do what the Lord told you to do? Lord, help us. So the Lord is concerned about our actions, what we do, and he's concerned about our inactions, because this is one, it's inactions, and he's concerned about our reactions too as well. Lord, help us. So I want to encourage us. If you didn't get anything that I said today, here's what I want us to understand. The Lord is saying, be thou faithful unto death. I will give you a crown of life.
Yes.
You want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. All you have to do is be faithful. You don't have to change the world in some grand and great, spectacular way. You just have to be faithful to the Lord. And you're going to hear those words that say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord.
Amen.
Amen.